You don't have to be positive all the time. It's perfectly okay to feel sad, angry, annoyed, frustrated, scared, and anxious. Having feelings doesn't make you a negative person. It doesn't even make you weak. It makes you human. And we are here to talk through it all. We welcome you to These Fucking Feelings Podcast, a safe space for all who needs it. Grab a drink and take a seat. The session begins now.
What is up, guys? Welcome to These Fucking Feelings Podcast. I am Micah. Unfortunately, I'm here by myself, but fortunately, I have Tanya Lester on with me. Am I saying that correct, right?
Tonya. Tonya.
I knew I was going to mess up somebody's name. Tonya Lester. Now, Tonya, we actually just like to get our guests introduced themselves because I always mess it up. Like, I mess up people's names and I don't want to skip anything. So go ahead and introduce yourself to us.
Sure. Hi, Tonya Lester. I'm a psychotherapist in Brooklyn, New York. I see individuals and couples, but a lot of my work and my writing is around relationships because the quality of our relationships is the quality of our lives. And, I think, you know, we don't live in a vacuum. So no matter what we have to work on in ourselves, it's no doubt coming up in our relationships. So I consider it really important work. I've considered it really important to me personally and in my own growth within myself, within my marriage, within my other relationships. And I have a blog and I do some writing in this area as well. So it's what I really care about is helping people help with their relationships.
And now, is it kind of like husband-wife relationship or any relationship?
You know, I see a lot of couples, and so usually that's, you know, a partner. But I've seen, you know, yes, families. I've seen siblings who run a business together. I've seen, you know, it runs the gamut. And I would say in our culture, I think we focus a lot on, like, marriages or partners. And but obviously, many, many different types of relationships are important and maybe even are the center of our lives. And I think it's important to normalize, you know, getting support also in friendships or whatever relationships are valuable to you, working on them.
Because I feel like I have a couple of friendships that I need to go therapy with because, you know, I know they're important enough not to get rid of them. But like, if we're stay on this course, you know, I'm going the way of life of positivity and they're going the way of life, a lot of negativity. And it's like,
okay,
I don't want to take another car, but I will.
Yeah. Well, have you ever, you know, this gets right away into something really interesting. And at what point do you value the relationship enough to kind of have a hard conversation, right? Even if it doesn't mean seeing a therapist, but saying, and noticing there's a lot of difference here and I want to talk about it, right? And why does that seem so scary to us? You know, that right away it looks like, are we going to allow this drift to happen or am I going to do the brave thing and bring it up?
Right. Now, see, I don't have a problem bringing it up, right?
Good. Amazing. A lot of people do.
I will talk, okay? Give me a second. But no one wants to hear it. And it's like, you know, I have like one of my friends and I hope that she watches this episode. But, you know, her is, I can't deal with this right now. And it was like, but why you keep putting me on a shelf? Like, when are we going to deal with it? So.
Yeah. And what does it feel like to be told by someone you care about that they are going to put you on a shelf, right? That's a painful, I imagine.
You know what it is? I went through a period of life where I probably was the messy friend. I know people looked at me and like, oh, he's toxic and I need to get him out of my life. And then I had this shift. I think people call it 40, but I had this shift.
Yeah.
Where I didn't want to live that life no more. So I did all the necessary things to improve and I'm still doing that today. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to like turn my back on them because of that. It's, you know, and I feel like, I guess number one, like it's turning my back, but it's like, I know that they dealt with me and all my crap at once.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So it feels like you're kind of giving back and doing for them what you would hope people had done for you and hopefully did do for you.
I kind of feel like I wish they would have told me I was the messy friend.
Okay. You know? So how did you realize, that's interesting, that you were the messy friend?
It was more like a personal, I guess, realization. I realized, number one, I felt like if I stood where I was at, I was never going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
you know. So I made like drastic life changes. I moved 10 hours away from my family, got a new job, a new place, whatever fit in my car is what I left with. You know, it was my changing point. It's like, I feel like it's what I needed to do, even though it kind of seemed drastic for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But it completely changed my life. Like, it allowed me to really focus on me. And I know what peace is. Is peace the fact that I'm away from my family?
Yeah, so, maybe. Yes. Yeah.
Been a pretty unique journey. But anyway, let's get to you. We had a little fester in there real quick. So what made you want to go into this? There's something that you say on your website, and I'm trying to think about it. And you probably know, because you say it on your website all the time. I mean, it's something that's worded. I love that you say it, though. It's like, it's the one thing about, it was like the biggest thing about, oh, I'm going to have to look it up. You don't mind about pull out my cell phone, do you?
No, not at all. I'm sorry. I'm not sure what you're referring to. I would jump in for sure.
But she's looking at me like, you're a little crazy right now.
No.
But while I'm looking it up, tell us a little bit about what made you decide this is the field you want to go into.
Sure. I've always been interested in relationships, like I said, and motivation and thinking about why we act the way that we do, the way people maybe get in their own way, and how we overfocus on things that are not that important and overfocus on things that are not that important and kind of ignore things that actually would really make a difference. Even when you were talking about your own story, I find that really inspiring, because I think a lot of times people need to do something really drastic, and instead they try and make these tiny changes around the margin. And then usually, though, big change doesn't happen with tiny shifts around the margins, right? Usually we have to do something big along that journey, I guess. I've always been, since I was a kid, I feel like I always have kind of paid a lot of attention to what people are communicating is different from what they're saying. I feel like, I always have been someone who wanted to talk about the hard stuff. Like you said, you like to talk. Like, I feel like I want to get right to it. And those are things that have helped me a lot as a therapist. And I have a lot of curiosity, training and reading and learning about new kind of therapies. Like that is what I do on my free time. So it's definitely a great job for me, for sure. Yeah.
That's pretty cool to like somebody. It's not like something so much, you do it on your free time.
Yeah, yeah. It's all that I'm really interested in. It's human behavior and relationships.
Yeah. Right now, I'm trying to be not so interested in it because I feel like our world is going crazy. So, yeah. But you have to witness some crazy things. But also, the transformation must be also incredible to see.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. And really, if we are breathing, we can make a change. Like, there's no too old. There's no too stuck. It's like, it's all about whether you're willing to put in the effort and that you have the desire to make a change. And when people don't change, it's because there's something in them that doesn't want to, right? And so sometimes we have to work to get through that. But everybody can make a change. I really believe that.
And is that part of your service also? Is it like, do you
go? Yeah, well, we look at different parts of ourselves, right? And so there might be a part of you that wants to make some big shift, but then there's another part of you that might be terrified of it, or it might feel disloyal to do it this way. And so we want to really explore, right? We are all made of parts. IFS is the kind of therapy I do, internal family system. And we have to be curious about all of our parts. And oftentimes when we feel stuck, it's because we have a polarity, one part who wants to do one thing and one part who wants to do another. And so that's why change is hard. And in therapy, a major thing we do is try and kind of explore all those different parts.
Now, what's your take on trauma? Like, do you deal with trauma? We recently talked to somebody who was like, I don't like calling it trauma. And they had a really unique perspective on it. And it was like, I guess you can't just assume that everybody believes in trauma, you know?
I believe in trauma for sure. And
yeah, I was like, how do I ask that question now? Because
now I can't use that word yet. No, I'm comfortable with using the word trauma. Any therapist who says they don't deal with trauma is, I don't know what population they're working with, but there's so much trauma in the world that, of course, I deal with trauma all the time. And maybe this is what the guest was referring to, but there's big T trauma, which is what we think of as like really traumatic experiences that anyone would look at and think, oh, that is abuse or a terrible accident or things that we think of. And then there's small t trauma, right? Which is something that really sticks with us or felt very harmful to us. And so, you know, trauma doesn't always have to be the big T trauma. A lot of people come in with little T trauma, and we take that seriously because it's because we're working on their personal growth. So certainly there's trauma, you know, in almost every session.
Okay.
To varying degrees.
My next question, you said it's okay to be difficult is what I saw on your site.
Yeah.
It's okay to be difficult. And I was like, I like that.
I think that the idea, you know, we think of being difficult, of course, as being someone who's like belligerent or unresponsive or uncollaborative or unnecessarily mean. But I think that the fear of coming across as being a kind of in quotes difficult really stands in the way of a lot of straightforward, direct conversations. And I think sometimes we think that entering into any kind of conflict is being difficult. And there are people who rush towards conflict. There's people who are like magnets towards like upsetting situations. And that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who are so afraid of ruffling feathers or hurting feelings or having any conflict at all that they really silence. And so to those people, I'm saying, it's okay to be difficult, because sometimes in my practice, I'll say to someone, what if you said you didn't like that? Or, you know, what if you told her that that used to be okay with you, but you've changed and that's not working anymore? Or what if you said you can't come over unannounced, you have to send me a text first? And people act like that, you know, like I could never say that. And that's really interesting, because to me, those are very even, you know, well within the bounds of what's allowed to say. And so when I say it's okay to be difficult, it's okay to have hard conversations, say hard things, set boundaries, set limits, stand up for yourself. So yeah, that's what I mean by that.
I loved it. And I feel like I'm like, dang, I wish Rebecca was here, which is my co-host, because that's like a great message for her.
Is that right?
The first time I met her, we worked together in our professional career. And we were at lunch and I made a joke and she stormed off. But me being the person I was, I followed behind her. Like, where you going?
Let's talk.
Right? Like I told her, don't you ever let me take your power like that. Don't ever. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I said, definitely had no cruel intention. It was not malicious at all. It set something off in her and she walked away. But it's like, no, you tell me why you don't like what I said, because, you know, I feel like that's what I deserve also as a person. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
Right. Also, I think there's something there about, you know, you felt like it meant one thing, but to her, it meant something else, right? And so much of emotional intimacy and true friendship is saying, you know, you said this, and this is what I imagined you meant. And then you can hear that and hopefully have empathy. Oh, I absolutely didn't intend for it to land that way. I can see where that would be upsetting. And then share, this is what it meant to me, right? And then this is how we develop closeness and how we really get to know each other. And it's oftentimes it's like the storming away in other people, not you, obviously, but in other people, it might have been like, well, you know, screw her or whatever, or what's her problem or whatever. And but you pushed past that to really see, like, you know, what did it mean, as opposed to both of you thinking the other person was a terrible asshole, right? It's like you were able to connect. Yeah,
we were to me, it's like we're brand new coworkers. We got to work together, you know.
Yeah, it
comes out now 2 years later, she's like my best friend, and I want
that's amazing.
But yeah, even though we got there because we had many conversations, I still never knew what she heard. It, you know, kind of like what you were saying. Like, it was such a good, it was like, you just gave us a great conversation. Like, what is
I wish she was here. You could have it right here. That would be amazing. Like, yeah.
Oh, God, what did you, it's like, and we've talked about how it made her feel, but I never know what she heard. So, okay. Sonya, I see you. You get some snaps. We are ready because I'm like, it's so simple.
It's simple. There's a kind of a conversation structure that I use with clients all the time that I learned from group therapy. So I don't know who originally came up with this, but it's I notice, I imagine, I feel, I need, right? So I notice is objectively something that happened that would, you could go in a court of law, right? So it would be like, I notice you stormed out of the room. Like, right, anyone would agree on that. If it was on a video, you could prove it. And then I imagine is what you made that. And so you might say, I'm just guessing, but you might say, I imagine that you think I'm a big jerk and you've decided that you don't like me right off the bat. That's what I feel hurt and anxious because I feel like I've gotten off on the wrong foot with someone who I want to work well with and maybe even be friends with, you know, and my request. Or you can say I need, but probably my request is better, especially in a friendship situation. So my request is that we can talk this through together, you know, something like that. And hers might be, you know, I notice you said this thing. I imagine that you don't care about insert the blank. You know, so you get to kind of know what the other person is in making things mean that way. There's a lot of variations about this. I know Brené Brown does one. I know Terry Real does one. But I notice, I imagine, I feel. And then we can, let's say, I request at the end.
Okay. That's pretty cool. I'm like, you over here, we having a therapy for real. Like, you're supposed to be here for this. And she's going to be so mad when I tell her. So,
oh, no.
I'm one of those friends. Yeah, I'm going to rub it all the way. Like, yeah. Okay. We had a good conversation. But so are these tools that you use in your own relationships?
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. It's like it's very easy to help somebody else, right? And everyone will say that. And I think I am a big believer that all therapists need therapy because we need someone else to call us out on our own stuff, you know, the way that we do for other people. So, I don't do it exactly like that, but I think my husband and I, we've been married for a long time and I feel like we've gotten much better. And I'm someone who still, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I really need to push myself to speak up if I'm angry. Like, it is my absolute instinct to avoid, keep it moving. I do not like conflict. And, but my relationship really suffered from that. And it got much, much better when I started speaking up, being more forceful than felt comfortable for me. And, you know, I'm lucky because my husband is very committed and really responded to that. Whereas I think sometimes people feel like, well, I could say what I want and she wouldn't even care or he wouldn't even care. And if that's true, if that's really true, then it's not a good relationship and maybe shouldn't be saved. Like, the other person should want you to be happy, right? And want to be working with you to make the relationship stronger. So I'm glad in my own relationship, I kind of got my act together that way. I wrote a piece about it that was in the New York Times. I don't know if that came across, but I've actually written in a national newspaper about my own relationship.
Like, I did see part of it, but I'm definitely gonna read it now. I
know. Yeah, right. It's all the.
That's what it takes on a journey to try to discover why you didn't like conflict. Like, did you have to go through that?
Yeah, I mean, I had been in enough individual therapy by then that I had a pretty good idea of where it came from and could really see where my avoidance came from and people pleasing. And of course, it's from my family of origin because that's where these things are always from. And but that kind of last critical step beyond just, it's one thing to have insight in yourself. It's one thing to have understanding. It's a whole nother thing to really put it into practice in a deep way. So I'll just be honest and say that's still something that I'm much better, but I have to make myself do it. I have to kind of gear myself up. So it never just gets easy because that's my personality, right? It's very ingrained, but I'm working to overcome that part of me.
I kind of went from being the most timid person in the world to now just say and ask and what I want. And it's, you know, some people are like, you know, once I knew I needed to change in this and kind of what we're talking about, you know, things that make you uncomfortable and those kind of things. Like, once I knew and figured out
that, right?
It was okay to do it. Like, oh, I'm supposed to do that? You know?
That's amazing.
Now I probably go too far a little bit and people don't then wish that I always, you know?
Okay. So they think now you're being not difficult, but impossible.
Right.
Maybe right. So that's right.
Yeah. Never malicious. I'm just honest and blunt about everything. And it's myself. And, you know, it's one thing my boss always gives me credit about is like that I don't mind saying I'm wrong or that I made a mistake. I didn't do something like, you know, that came with my change too, just accepting my responsibility in life.
So no defensiveness.
Right. You know, and I got it for telling the customer I overslept, but it was the truth, you know, and everybody's getting on me like, you got to watch your audience. You got to know who your audience is. And I'm like, my audience is human.
Or maybe my audience is my own value of honesty. Right. Like, and that's who I'm answering to is my own integrity.
Okay, you see, I'm going to use that now. I didn't think that line. That's a good line. It's my own integrity. Because, you know, it's still now that they always even, like, hit me reminders because I'm still so honest. You know, it's like, yeah, I kind of messed that up. You know, I saw it, but I didn't fix it because I was busy doing this. And, you know, and they're like, you're not just supposed to accept
it.
Right. They're like, just don't accept the blame. So I think all of them need to call you.
You said earlier that the world is like going crazy. And what would it be like if we all approached conflict without defensiveness and total honesty? And I would add empathy and kindness to that, because I think that just total honesty maybe might have a sharp edge, right? You can say almost anything in a empathetic way. You know, it's like, it's a lot of the world going crazy is because there's a lot of dishonesty. There's a lot of people being defensive and not taking responsibility for themselves that I want to be in, where everybody knows what's going on and it's no bullshit.
I have a friend. He's a whore, a big whore. But I always tell him, like, just tell women you're a whore. You know, like, it, to me, you're going to find women that are going to accept it. You know what I'm saying? Of course you're going to find
the same thing. It's setting expectations and not misleading people, right? And then there's no bad behavior like that. Like what you're talking about isn't bad behavior as long as it's honest, right? And everyone has the same expectations. I totally agree with you.
Yes. Then I'm like, that's where people are like, y'all just need to like change to just tell people. Like, I promise you, his fear is that, no, I'm never going to meet any girls. And I'm like, okay, so now you're going to stay in the hurt relationships and now you're fighting and you're crying because you cheated, which you was going to cheat anyway. And if you just would have told her in the beginning, we wouldn't have all these tears.
And she would have been able to make an honest assessment of whether she wanted to enter that relationship or not, right? So he also is taking away from these partners the ability to like make good decisions for themselves because they don't have all the information, right? And that's not a good way to engage with other people.
How much of your work it deals with that?
Infidelity?
Well, not so much infidelity, but kind of taking choices, like, you know.
Oh, a lot, right? It's like, it's hard, right? It's hard for us to be totally honest about ourselves all the time, right? And so there's a lot of like, when we talk about lying, I think people say, well, I never lie, because maybe they don't just outright lie to your face, right? Okay, good. There's a lot of ways to lie, right? And we all lie sometimes. Like it's part of human nature. It's because of how we want to come across to people. It's because we don't want to upset people. It's because we don't want to be rude. And I think a good way, and lies of omission are the biggest thing, right? It's like, if you don't tell someone something they would want to know on purpose, that's a lie, right? Like that's a lie.
We'll say that one more time.
If you aren't telling someone something they would want to know and you're not telling them on purpose, then you are lying. That is a lie.
Right.
If you would never would have occurred to you they'd want to know, then that's nothing. That's not malicious, right? That's just a mistake. Or if they wouldn't care, right? They don't care what you had for lunch that day or whatever. And that's not a lie. But if it's something that you know they would want to know and you're not telling them in order to avoid their reaction or a difficult conversation. And of course, I'm talking about non-abusive situations. There's great reasons to lie if you feel like you're in danger. But outside of those circumstances, then it's a lie. Like lies of omission are still lies. And I think a good way to think about it, just to go one step further, it's like, if you want to be closer to someone, you want to be more honest. If you want to create distance from someone, then it doesn't matter so much if you lie. Like it's, I'm not going to say we should all be totally honest all the time, because that's totally unrealistic. But if we want emotional vulnerability and emotional closeness, then we want to be honest.
I'm honest most of the time. I'm going to say probably like, and it is exhausting because.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, hey, I don't got time to love all y'all back.
So because everyone feels so close to you, is that what you're saying? Because you're so honest. That's fascinating.
They're like, how are you feeling? Horrible. You know, my answer is the truth.
Yeah.
I couldn't sleep last night. I was tossing and turning. I woke up in sweat. Now I had to take a shower. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, I couldn't go back to sleep. And they're like, I was just saying.
But it sounds like they're really drawn to you because of that, and that they feel close to you because of that.
A lot of people tell me, you know, I walked up to a table the other day and it was a nurse table and she was like giving out injections, vaccines. And I was just looking at the table and they're like, you didn't sign up. What are you doing over here? And I'm like, I just came to see what I can take. Just because I ain't getting the injection doesn't mean, you know, and they're like,
you might have something to offer.
Right. And they're like, I want the free stuff too. It's free.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's great. But I do. But I you know, I can see what, you know, it kind of made a lot of sense when you said, you know, like the less honest, the less people are drawn to you. And I'm like, maybe that's it. I talk to.
Well, are you honest in a different way with the people that you want to be closest to? Or are you the same with everyone, would you say?
I don't know. I tell you, I kind of when I went through my change and realized that, like, it was OK to be me, then I really had no problem being me. So, like, I'm the one person that can see this. I know that there is a reason for why everybody does the things that they do. So it's very hard to be upset with people, you know?
Yeah.
There's a reason to why they got an attitude, you know? You know, there's a reason.
Like, you have a lot of empathy, which is, that's great.
That's what hit me, right? I got empathy, and now I'm over here, and I'm like, it's okay, you stabbed me, you had a bad day, it's all right.
Yeah, we can take everything too far, even empathy.
And me, because I want to be good at everything. See, but that's another conversation.
Yeah, okay, perfectionism.
We are an award-winning podcast now. You're our very
Congratulations.
First. After winning an award, we won Saturday night.
Amazing. Congratulations. That's so exciting.
Podcast awards in the health category.
Okay.
All them people out here talk about health, and we the ones you like. But no, we thank you.
Thank you.
On the award-winning podcast.
The award.
Stuck on Feelings. Yeah.
Hi, right. Yesterday,
my brother got on his nerves. He was visiting me and he was like, what you say? You know, he would say something. I'm like, what are you saying to award-winning podcast host? He was like, I'm going to have to hear this all day. And it's like, yeah.
At least for a few more days, sure.
He was like, he couldn't wait to get. He was like, you can take me to the airport now. And I'm like, it's 3 hours, you know? Gonna make the award-winning podcast host drive you now?
Right. He's busy. So he's got award-winning stuff to do.
Right, award-winning stuff to do. You know what I'm saying? So tell us a little bit about, well, I guess, your business, your services, and the things that you offer.
I you know, I see couples and individuals, so that's my practice, and that's
It's virtual, like
it's right now I'm all virtual. Sometimes I've done both, but right now I'm all virtual. And I'm also, you know, I write, and I'm writing a book that will be published next year. And so it was originally going to be called Be Difficult, actually, which I think you probably like. But I think now it might be something slightly different, like Pushback. So we'll see. Still working on that with my publisher. But yeah, so
they're both good, though. They're both good.
I thought you know, when they said they didn't want to be difficult, I thought I was bummed. But I was like, well, Pushback isn't. Pushback's pretty good. No. So I can make it work.
Man, you're brown a little bit.
I know, it's so funny. I'm like not being difficult enough about being difficult.
I'm not a professional, but I think that it will resonate with a lot of people.
I do too. I might keep fighting for that. We'll see.
Pushback, I will be confused about a little bit, but you can't get wrong with be difficult. You know,
Yeah. I think what it is, and I get this totally, because this is what my mom said when I told her the title. She goes, oh, Tonya, aren't there enough difficult people in the world? You know, so I think people think of it as being impossible, right? Where I'm really trying to give permission to say hard things. Anyways, I'm fine with it.
Impossible people, I think, sometimes don't know they're impossible. So
that's exactly right.
It's okay to teach someone how to be difficult the right way.
That's right. Thank you. That is going to be my blurb on the back. Yeah, that's exactly what the book is for. It's really to teach people to be difficult in the right way. And not to, you know, the idea is not to torpedo relationships. It's to make them stronger, right? And so if you're leaving a wake of destruction in your path, then you might need to rethink the way you're being difficult. But if you're having kind of hard conversations and intimate relationships with people who are as invested in you as you are in them, then you're probably being difficult in the right way.
Well, you're very good at this. Because just in this short time that we had together, I realized that I could be impossible sometimes. But I'm also realizing, okay, I got a lot of empathy.
Also, you do have a lot of empathy.
I could say a lot of empathy. But also it's like, you know, am I getting what I guess require, request, need, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you know, about those things too. And okay, I see you.
I actually have a quiz on my website that is, you know, are you difficult? Are you impossible? Or are you a shock absorber, which is my word for people who just take all the blows in order not to make anyone else around them uncomfortable, right? And so if you or any of your listeners were interested, that's on TonyaLester.com.
I was trying
not to take it because I feel like I feel like I'm a little bit of all of them. And you know what? I just stay ready for the truth, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think we probably all have different scenarios that would bring that out in us. So I think that's very honest, but we want to see what we lead with, right? And we don't want to lead with impossible, and we don't want to lead with shock absorbing.
I'm one of those weird people. It's like I'm outspoken and those kind of things, but I don't mind taking the blame, and I don't mind taking the blame for others, you know? So it's like sometimes I am the shock absorber, but other times I'm the shock.
Sometimes you're the shock. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you're the magnet. And sometimes
It's kind of, I mean, it's cool. It's one thing I love about this podcast is that we get people like you to come on who are like masters in your area. And you come and you share these things. And it's like, I never thought of the concept of being difficult or being, you know, too much. But your word for it is difficult. What is that thing you said after impossible?
Difficult, impossible, or shock absorber. Those are the categories. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was like, hey, I can see some situations where I might have been impossible. So I wonder how I could bring that down to just being the necessary difficult.
That's right. I think that's what we need. Yeah, I think that's what we need. And that's what the whole book is about. So I hope that it resonates with people.
I know. And I guess we have you back if you want to come back, of course.
Love it.
When your book drops, and that way Rebecca could be here and we can have
I would love that. That would be amazing. Yeah, we'll do a friendship couple therapy with the two of you. Yeah,
because that is my work wife. And sometimes she's my best friend. We do transportation and we manage truckers. And I think that really I'm the mama and she the daddy.
That is so interesting.
They're our babies.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And they're all the children. You're the parent.
Yeah. You know, because they call her boss. All the guys call her boss. And then I get called by my name.
Interesting. Okay. They're a little bit afraid of her.
You know, but it's so funny because so much of things that you said about being a shock absorber, Rebecca is. But also just she doesn't. She is now really, I think I fight with her enough. We've got that brotherly bond.
Yeah.
Brotherly bond. So I make her fight with me enough that now I see her speaking up in other situations.
So you've grown, right? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. At the beginning, I was talking about like many types of relationships can be like a center for growth, right? And that's such a beautiful example of that, your friendship.
Definitely. We're like teaching each other so much. Because, you know, I do offend her a lot. And I think it's just being different. But it makes me think about why I offended her. And why I thought it was okay to say what I was saying. So it gives me a lot to think about, too. And I feel like, I remember my mom told me once about, we talked about soulmates. And she was like, sometimes it's impossible to be with your soulmate because they really hold a mirror up in front of you and show you yourself. You know, and so I think that that's kind of what Rebecca is for me. Like, she's really my soulmate. Sorry, Scott. That's her husband.
Uh-huh.
He also has nothing to worry about because I'm gay. Yes, any last minute, I know I probably took you all over the place, right? And she was like, crazy interview. Anything that you were like before you go, anything you felt like that I left out?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that. I just, I guess if I was going to say anything to close it out, it's just that every one of us are worthy of growth and having a life with meaning and having positive relationships. And no matter where you are or what your past has been, that could be in front of you. And sometimes that means working on ourselves first so that we're showing up in the relationships. And like you said, all relationships really are like a mirror. And we want what we want. We need the best of us to be reflected in our friendships and our partners and everyone. And then I think sometimes we can get very, very discouraged when we've had some negative experience. So again, growth is always, if you have breath in your body, growth and change are possible.
Very, very, very well said. I would have said it the same way, but you know, I'll let you have it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But no, thank you so much for coming on. I'm definitely going to invite you back because I'm going to want my autographed copy that I will happily pay for. It just must be autographed. Okay.
You will get it. You'll absolutely get it.
And I also would like to send you a pillow, comfort support pillow. I squeeze it a lot talking to people. Conversations could get deep sometimes.
Yeah, that's great.
But yes, so thank you so much for being on. Thank you guys for watching so much. Tonya Lester, we will definitely put all your information in our episode and on our website. And you guys, we will see you next week. Thanks for watching.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And with that, we're wrapping up another episode of the Fucking Feelings Podcast. Thank you all for tuning in and engaging in another intense and real discussion on understanding and navigating through our feelings. Don't forget, we're here each Wednesday, bringing you brand new episodes filled with stories, advice, and perspectives to help you handle those fucking feelings. So set a reminder on your calendar, grab your headphones, and join us every week. And if you're interested in exploring more ways to deal with life's stresses, make certain to tune in to our sister podcast. Trauma is expensive. Dive deep into discussions on managing trauma, building resilience, and fostering healing with new episodes dropping every Monday. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and comment on both podcasts on your favorite podcast platform. Remember, each comment and rating can catapult us further towards reaching those individuals who could really use our discussions. Your feedback is invaluable. Before we close, we want to remind you that discussing feelings is never a sign of weakness, but a display of courage. Stay brave, stay strong, and keep feeling those fucking feelings. Until next week, take care and keep the conversation going.